The year of COVID, also known as the worst year ever. In this episode, we're going to do a quick recap of how 2020 affected this podcast, unmanned hiring, unmanned apparel, contracting, deployments, and basically how we're going to move forward. So, enjoy the show. Hey everybody, this is Chris Kelso. Welcome to Unmanned. So, 2020. What a shitty year. For everybody. I think everywhere. I think globally would be a good way to put that. In case you guys haven't noticed, and girls out there listening, we haven't been pushing out a lot of content. This year, as in probably not one episode this year got done. I was deployed for, I left at the end of February. Great timing. Was in Afghanistan. And about 2 weeks or so after my trip is when COVID kind of happened globally and shut me down. You know, some may say that's good timing. At least I got where I was going before I got locked down, especially with the fact that I was going to be there for a while anyway. It kind of made that not as stressful as it was on many others that were looking to go home during that time. And so basically got locked down in Afghanistan for the end of winter through about midsummer. I did get extended. Thankfully not too long, as we were waiting on airports to open up and international travel to resume. But there were many others I was with downrange that should have been home in March or April and unfortunately were stuck until May, June, July, etc. And that was extremely difficult for them. And from witnessing those people go through that and seeing how it affected their lives, I realized that things were going to drastically be changing. And so there was, I wonder if that text message just came through on the podcast. Another great thing about Anchor is you can do these podcasts on the phone, but if people are blowing you up, it can be distracting. There was
people that were supposed to be getting married when they got home, and then they ended up getting separated.
There were people that had job internships, that were getting out of the military, and, they ended up missing those. There was plenty of things that people were supposed to be getting home for or to. And it did not happen because of COVID-19. And there were other people that, had been working, had already been there for 3 or 4 months, and then got shut down and stuck there. And so what we saw with those guys and those companies and those ladies was basically stuck for 6 to 7 months downrange, some even longer. I think the longest was 9 months for somebody, and they just didn't want to do it anymore. That takes a toll on you. It's one thing to be deployed. It's another to be deployed with no end in sight. And when you go downrange, you mentally prepare yourself for this amount of time. Most people will put like a little ticker on their phone or a little countdown timer or something. There's something to look forward to. And when you mentally cage yourself, okay, I'm halfway done. Okay, ooh, final stretch. Here we go, last month. And it gets taken away from you and ripped away from you. That can be demoralizing. It can be soul crushing. And
it can really affect the psyche, not just of those people downrange, but also of the people back home that are waiting to see mom or dad or, you know, husband or wife again, you know, or, you know, and so it just really messes with that kind of already stressful and delicate fabric, which is a deployment lifestyle. And unfortunately, I think it tore. It ripped a lot of people's deployment fabric, if you will. There was a mass exodus. A lot of people quit their companies after that because they got stuck downrange. Their companies were not getting them home. Or they couldn't. Either way, I don't want to push blame on anybody or any company. But at the end of the day, you have to make, you know, a decision for what's best for you in your life. And a lot of people felt that either that company or this lifestyle wasn't for them anymore. And so they quit. A lot of great people I worked with quit. And I don't know if some of them will ever go back to this career field. I hope I get to work with them at some point in the future. But if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. And so I think timing for me just worked out really well. But, you know, unfortunately, and I don't want this whole podcast to be this whole episode to be a doom and gloom. But 2020 has been pretty much a giant cloud hanging over everybody's heads. You know, this is the year of Eeyore. So what I'd like to do is kind of move past this, but I know there's a lot of people out there, especially listeners, that are either in the military or looking to transition out to contracting, and they want to do the GoCo gig. And I just think that if you're going to make that transition, you really need to know what is in store for you, especially during this COVID time period. And the international travel. I'm actually getting hit up right now by Colin, who, if you listen to the Drunken Drones episodes 1 and 2, he was my guest on those 2 episodes. So he's actually letting me know right now that he's on his way home from Bagram. So that's cool. Hoping to push out a Drunken Drones episode 3 with him shortly, which is actually why I was text messaging him before I started this one. So, yeah, if you are looking to make that transition, I'd say that now's probably a good time to start pushing out some resumes, and shotgunning that out to all the companies. One, because a lot of companies just got their tree shook a little bit. A lot of companies just lost a lot of people, or, you know, people are getting moved around, or, you know, sometimes they just don't fill those slots right away. So now might be the best time to get in there with people making some of these moves. I will say that most companies, though, probably have a stack of resumes, but it never hurts to shoot yours out. Just make sure that it looks good. You don't want to blast out a resume that looks like a bag of ass, because no one's going to, it's going to get shredded right away, thrown in the trash. So it's a good time to make that transition. I think with, and here's the concern, right? COVID-19, we laxed on it this summer. It's like, okay, we dealt with it. You know, we flattened the curve. We all locked ourselves away for months, and the numbers decreased as predicted. And then everyone's like, woohoo, right? Everyone started partying again, basically, with a mask on, of course, but everyone was still having a good time to the max extent possible, right? Because everybody loves the summer. And so now we're starting to see those numbers increase. Now, I'll be honest, I don't look at the validity of these numbers. I don't check this stuff out online. I don't watch the news. I don't really give a shit. But if the numbers are going up, and with the recent election that just took place, who knows what COVID could look like in a few months, I'll say, who knows how it will be portrayed. I'll say that. That can definitely have an impact on what international travel looks like moving forward as well. And so, if the numbers do continue to go up, if COVID starts running rampant like the flu does in the winter, people aren't going to know if they even have the flu or COVID. They're going to have to go get tested. It is entirely possible that we see more lockdowns and we see more international travel holdups. We see more stuff going on. I know that there is a company, Express Check, which is doing COVID-19 tests, rapid tests. I believe it's like 15 minutes. They get the test done right there at the airport, but they're only doing East Coast airports like JFK, Newark, I think Boston. I'm not sure if they're down in BWI yet, but it's one of those things where if we can get a COVID-19 fast track, basically testing center right there at one of our deployment airport hubs that we all fly out of, then that might be really good for international travel for us. So if we can get a quick test at the airport and then 15 minutes later we can give somebody a little piece of paper that says I'm clean, send me over. And that's the way, and everyone getting on that plane has that paper that says, yo, you're clean. Then that might reduce our international travel delays. It also might reduce the amount of time we have to quarantine overseas, if we even do, as long as we get that piece of paper. One of my buddies just sent me a message saying that the vaccine's at like 90% complete right now. So that's also good. So there's some things coming out that hopefully allow us to continue doing these jobs without much of a delayed impact, or stop sign, if you will. However, worst case scenario, it does continue to lock down, everything goes to hell, and people get stuck overseas again. And so I think that this go around for everyone that's going out overseas in the early winter through next spring, I would say that I say probably anyone leaving now until April of next year, I'd say your best bet is to mentally position yourself to not expect to come home for a long time. I wouldn't say not come home ever. That's kind of it's really depressing. But whatever time frame you were given to come home, I wouldn't plan anything around the end of it. I'll just say that. I would expect at least another month or two of slop time, if you will, a little bit of a buffer, a little COVID buffer there. So that's my advice for anyone going out between now and next spring until this COVID stuff is dealt with. So yeah, as far as international travel goes, I think everyone's waiting to see what's going to happen there. But right now, the current process is fly, spend a lot of time on an airplane with a mask, get where you're going, quarantine for 2 weeks or longer, and then sit tight. And travel has been horrible going back and forth internationally. Absolutely horrible. So for anyone looking to get out of the military and go into contracting, I hope you're ready to sit on a plane with a mask on your face for 23 hours straight, because it was just absolute dog shit last time I came home, which was this summer. I can only imagine it. I can't imagine it getting any better, I'll say that. I'm not really sure if it can get worse. So, just something to consider if you guys are making that transition. So, moving on, next topic, ATLC. I think that's the acronym. Auto Takeoff and Landings. This is a topic that has been brought up recently quite a bit. Actually, before I go into that, hold on real quick. Single seat LR. SSLR. Oh my God, I was right. I was so right about that. I did a video, oh geez, I don't know, about a year ago, and I basically said it was the worst idea ever. It was complete dog shit, and it was not going to work at all. And that everyone should just relax and ride that one out. And here we go. Single CLR, gone. Zip-de-doo-dah, boo, bye. Called it. You know why? Because it was a stupid idea and the guy was retiring when he dropped it off. I'm not saying that it wouldn't have worked. I'm sure the Air Force would have found out a way to implement that had he stayed in. Because once a colonel or whatever puts his name on a piece of paper and says, this is a great idea and we're going to do it and he's in charge of the base, everybody tends to figure out a way to make it happen, right? But, yeah, not a thing anymore. So all those single-seat LR guys, especially the pilots I talked to that thought it was, oh, yeah, totally doable, best thing ever, blah, blah, blah. Ha, 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 ha. You're wrong. Glad that one's over with. But we got the next bastard to talk about, which is the auto takeoff and land. And so now we can go back. Now we come. I just had to get that SSLR off my chest because I needed a good laugh. So auto takeoff and land. Yes, it does work. Yes, it's been implemented in other aircraft besides the MQ-9. Yeah, if the Army can do it, pretty sure the Air Force can do it. Sorry, Army guys, but we're just better at these things. Yeah, it's coming. Okay, and I see a full implementation of this probably in the next two software. I'm thinking the 9 and the 10 software versions here. That's when I think it'll be implemented. I know it is already usable, and I think that with those two new software versions coming down the pipe, I say probably in the next probably 2 years. Once there's a standardization across all platforms and all branches, or not branches, but you know, between ACC and AFSOC and stuff, I think you are going to see that easily implemented and accepted. And one, that'll make training around the community pretty standard, which would be nice for once. I feel like over the last, I don't know, like freaking 8 years or something, there's been different pubs, there's been different plane hardware and software configurations, and AFSOC does what AFSOC does. You know, they're kind of that, hey, let's try this new stuff, and they test it out. You know, there is some ACC squadrons that also have different software that nobody else has that test out their stuff too. So I just think we've had two different pocketbooks, actually probably three different pocketbooks, testing and developing new softwares and hardware configurations for quite some time, and they've been playing around with it. And it makes training people extremely difficult because you end up having all these different small squadronisms that you wouldn't have in a main FTU. So it would be nice to see everybody on the same page for once in the last decade. It used to be that way, and it definitely diverged away from that when on the community basically tripled in size. So I would like to see us come back to one plane, one software, one hardware, one GCS, and kind of leave it at that. I know there will probably still be some different mods here and there, but it would be nice to have it all under one roof, at least for training purposes. Second, what is that going to do to downrange operations? I think that's the biggest question that people have. Our deployed footprint will be reduced. And the reason why is when you have auto takeoff and landing capabilities, you have the ability to keep more people back home in the States. Instead of having, you know, 20 crews launching and landing planes manually, you could cut that number essentially in half easily. and have a couple crews downrange that are there to basically monitor those operations, take control manually if anything, you know, needs to be done, and can kind of take a back seat to it, let the plane do its thing. So I think with the implementation of ATLC, you will see a cap, a personnel reduction, at least contracting LR crews. I think you'll probably also have that military side as well. You'll have a reduction in military crews that need to go overseas as well, which will allow them to push more people out to the combat lines, which I think could be good. I think there's a lot of people that are in the launch and recovery element that would like to get into combat and would like to get some combat experience. So I think that would be beneficial to that. As far as contracting goes, though, I think we're going to see a drawdown. I do. And I think we're going to see a drawdown with the ATLC. And I think what that's going to do is it's going to make the job market incredibly competitive. Incredibly competitive. So there's already so many contractors. Let's just make it easy and say there's 300 contractors. For simple math, let's say that 200 of them are doing LR and 100 are ISR guys, right? Well, with ATLC, you could easily say, well, out of those 200, we only need 100 of them. And so what are those other, you know, what's the 100 guys going to do now that don't have, there's not a need for them. And there's not MCE caps that they can go to. So I think we're going to see some things get shuffled around. And I'm not sure exactly how that's going to look, because the forecast in 2 years could be completely different, especially under a different administration. I will say that the Trump administration that's been in there the last 4 years, they haven't added any new conflicts. So there hasn't been any necessity for an increase in caps or anything like that. So, in fact, and with the drawdown of Afghanistan at the end of his presidency, you know, we were seeing basically a reduction in the amount of work that we had in Afghanistan as he was ending the war. So, yeah, I'm curious to see. Now, I'm not going to get into politics because I hate politics. But the presidency, this recent election, has not been finalized yet. I know what the news said. I know what the AP said. I know what social media is saying. But until it's ruled in the courts and finalized, I don't care. So until that happens, it's up in the air as far as I'm concerned. Why is that important? Because if for some reason it gets overturned and Trump stays president, what is that going to look like for military and contractor over the next 4 years? I think we're going to see that continue to draw down. He talks a big game, but he hasn't put his tanks in the sand anywhere. So that could be a reduction in contracts. If Biden takes over, if he ends up becoming the president, I don't think anybody knows what that's going to look like as far as conflicts go. I don't know what his foreign diplomacy is going to look like. We could see an increase in caps. We could see a reduction. I don't think anybody knows with Joe what's going to happen. So at least if Trump had won or ends up winning because of courts or whatever happens, right? We at least know, or we can predict what it's going to look like for contracting in the next 4 years in the military. But I don't think anybody has taken that in consideration yet with Joe. So it's, you know, throwing darts basically with your eyes closed as to what the next 4 years are going to look like. So I think that's what everybody is holding on to. As far as contracting goes, I think that a lot of companies have been holding off on employment. One, because they had people stuck over, you know, everywhere and they couldn't move any pieces around. So they had either more people than they needed or they couldn't do anything. Everybody was stuck. Also, with the election and what the foreign policy and diplomacy is going to look like moving forward. I think a lot of companies don't know if they're even going to still have their caps. So everyone's kind of waiting for that too. And then you've got COVID gonna be ramping back up here in the winter. So do companies want to take on a huge hiring cycle, knowing full well that everybody might get stopped and everything might get shut down again? Nobody knows, right? So we're in this position right now where there is kind of a trifecta of things happening, and nobody wants to make any big chess moves yet. People might be pushing out a pawn here and there, but nobody's, swinging the bishop across the board because nobody knows what's going to happen here in the next few months. So quarter four of 2020, and I'd say quarter one of 2021 are probably going to be very, I'd say they're probably going to be very standstillish. It's probably not even a real word I just said, but I don't think anyone's going to throw any big rocks in the water. Okay, you might be a little ripple here and there. I don't think anything big's going to happen right now. I think everyone's waiting for quarter two of 2021. I think this next 6 months is going to be a big push to get past all the bullshit and get back to some familiar water. So that's my opinion there. We're going to take a quick commercial break here, probably about a minute or so. I don't know. I don't do very long commercials, but here's a quick commercial break. All right, welcome back. So some of you may have noticed, but my unmannhiringservices.com website has been down for about a month, about the month of October. And the reason why is because I was working on the back end. So I have been working on not only revamping that website, but switching providers and switching platforms. And then with that, going through and recoding things and rebuilding. So, what we ended up doing is leaving the WordPress website that many of you are familiar with and ended up going with squarespace.com. I just found that Squarespace had a better look and feel and accessibility to it that WordPress did not. WordPress was, well, to put it quite simply, WordPress was kind of like the Android of websites. There's a thousand customizable features, but at the end of the day, it just gets bogged down. For me running it myself, I was bogged down with updating 20 different apps and codes and little things here and there that worked or didn't work. Or, my Facebook reviews would somehow just log out for no reason and then wouldn't work. And then I'd have a weird looking website with a bunch of nasty, dumb bullshit on the side instead of actual reviews from people. So it was just one of those things where I kind of said, okay, let's simplify. Let's simplify. Let's do something simple. Let's move away from this. And so I went with Squarespace because, in my opinion, it was the more aesthetically pleasing website. It's kind of like the Apple of website building. So this isn't a plug for Squarespace. They're not paying me for this, but it was definitely a much easier transition. And so we were going to be going live with the new website here in the next few days. And it should hopefully allow my clients and customers to have a much easier navigation to get what they need to get for professional development. So I just wanted to address that because it just, something that people had been asking me about. So you'll see that actually should be published here. Probably by the end of the day. So, I did want to address that. Second, my unmanned apparel. So, I started unmanned apparel back at the end of 2019. Got it off the ground, had my first kind of clothing line. I don't know what you call it, but basically pushed out my first, 50 products. Actually, I think I'm up to about 100 by the, but I think I was up to about 100 products by the end of spring. But then COVID hit. And what COVID did was it shut down the warehouses. It shut down the back end. It shut down manufacturing. It shut down shipping. It shut down everything. And so what we saw was just an inability to produce the products and get them to the customers. It was so bad there for a while that orders were taking, 4 or 5 weeks to get to people. It's like people were ordering clothes from China. That's how long it was taking. I don't outsource any of my products from China. Everything that people buy off my website, off unmannedapparel.com, is made here in America. I also have one Europe detachment of, if you will, to handle European product placement, or I don't know what the, I'm not sure what word I was looking for there, but basically anything that deals with that side of the world comes out of Europe. But 99% of the stuff is made here in America and sent from our distribution centers here in North Carolina and California, and I think there might be one other one. So anyway, that all shut down. So I was not sure if I was going to be able to keep that business open. But people kept buying shirts. And so when I saw that, I realized it was probably worth keeping open no matter what. So I ended up just eating all the costs for about 2 or 3 months, just to keep the store open, hoping that COVID would die down and things would get back to normal. I will say that as of late, it's been pretty good. Not as good as it was pre-COVID, but the manufacturing and shipping has become more stable. I think every once in a while now I'll get an order that takes about 3 weeks, but for the most part they're going out within 5 to 10 days. I will say this though, because of COVID and because of where the materials come from, a lot of the materials come from South America, Central America, as far as like the cotton and stuff like that to make the shirts. The problem is not the American facilities being able to make the shirt. The problem is getting the shirts from their, the base layer, if you will, like the plain blue shirt or whatever it is. It's the suppliers that are running low or out of stock. And sometimes what that does is it, if someone puts in a 4 or 5 shirt order and one of those shirts is out of stock at the supplier, they'll hold that whole order up most of the time, for maybe 2 or 3 weeks until they get more of those sh that color shirt in, every once in a while, half the order will go out and the other half will stay. That's kind of hit or miss, but what I usually do in those situations is I will reach out to those customers personally and let them know that I am tracking their order. I am apologizing for the delay, and this is what's going on. And I'll tell them the reason why. I think that's important to do, because anytime you order something, you expect it within a certain amount of time, especially when they give you an estimated delivery time. And I just like to get ahead of that if I can and let people know, like, hey, this is what's going on, and thank you for your patience. Please bear with me. So it's just one of those things where we're still working through it. And so I want to thank everybody that's supporting that store, and keeping it open, because I think eventually COVID will go, or at least be minimized enough so that everything can resume productivity wise and shipping wise. But right now it's still kind of hit or miss. And I hope I'm not deterring anybody from getting a shirt or something if they want it, but I do want to paint a realistic picture of what's going on so that, people can understand the situation. I think it's always important to set expectations appropriately so that people know what they're getting into when they do an order. With that being said, I have enlisted the help of a few friends regarding unmanned apparel, and I'm working towards building more of a team. For a while, well, I guess for pretty much all of it, it was myself doing the drawings, doing the graphic design, building the templates, pushing that out, and then making sure that those shirts were getting designed, as well as running all the back end and the front end of the store, doing all the marketing, doing all the advertising, doing all the coding, doing all the product mock-ups and all that stuff. So, my wife helped out with some of the designs on some of the shirts and stuff. So I'm hoping that I can start branching out a little bit and letting some other people in. It's been tricky because I can't really pay employees because COVID really knocked us off the wall there with our profits. So, especially having to eat it for a couple months. So, I'm hoping that some of the team will help me get going with that second line. And so, I'm hoping that we can get another, 2021-ish is when I'm hoping that we can get more shirts, more hoodies, more product out, more designs. And so there really has been a bit of a standstill there. The majority of the year was spent being deployed, dealing with COVID, dealing with freaking homeschooling, which I cannot stand. It's really hard for me to get work done regarding my businesses when I am teaching a 5-year-old how to log into a laptop. So, that kind of stuff has really put a damper on what we're doing. But I just want to let everybody know kind of what's been going on with 2020, because I have not done one of these in a long time. And I think everybody, for the most part, this year has kind of just been in their sweatpants. I mean, hell, I haven't even cut my hair or my beard in a year. Some of that was planned. It was an initial goal of mine to do a full year. And then I realized once they closed all the barber shops that I definitely could make that a reality. And so I think everybody this year kind of didn't care, which was good. It's good. I think everybody needed that break. I think everybody really needed that break of, can we all just sit in our house and introvert for a while and, I don't know, watch TV, make a milkshake? I don't know what people do in their homes, but I mean, talk about a downtime. I am a complete extrovert. I need to talk to people. I need to get out. I need to, run around outside in the yard like a dog with the zoomies. So it was really hard for me, but at the same time, it allowed me a lot of downtime with my family and allowed me a lot of downtime to get some of this stuff done with the business that I needed to do. So making that switch off platforms for online hiring, and then looking at the store and making sure that the store could stay open and working that stuff, COVID basically allowed me to do some of those things. And so I'm hoping that for 2021, we can ramp up again. I think it'll be interesting to see what happens with contracting. And I really do want to push out more of the store with the unmanned apparel. I have had customers in France. I've had customers in Australia. I've had customers in Canada. I really like that there are other countries and other people around the world that are interested in drones. And I even had to do a custom order shirt for a 2-year-old. My coffee, drones, and beer shirt I made for, Might not have been two. He was small, though. He was a small, I think maybe three years old. We had to do a little mini shirt with a cup of coffee on it and a beer mug and a drone on it for this little kid, because so his dad and him could have the same matching shirt. And it was awesome. It was awesome. And so things like that just make it worth it, in my opinion. And I'm going to keep doing it until I financially can't. So, you know, hopefully that day doesn't happen. You know, if anybody out there is interested in doing one of these podcasts with me, I love to have guests. It's always great to talk to other people and feed off of that back and forth than it is talking to my phone. So I always love doing, you know, guest work if I can. So if anybody is interested in being on the show and would like to talk about drone stuff, please shoot me a message. I would love to do it. Second, if anybody has any interest in designing shirts or coming up with cool, you know, cool swag, basically, for people in the unmanned community, I definitely welcome that, too. I've only got a couple of quadcopter designs, and I've got one FPV shirt out there, but I definitely would like to get into the drone racing and drone hobbyist market more for the clothing. I know most of my base is military, but I think there's a lot of cool things being done right now with quadcopters and drone hobbyists. And I think that they deserve to have some swag too. So we'll probably see a push towards that for the near future. Maybe we'll keep coming up with some military stuff. So we'll see. I think this has probably been a really good summary of how the 2020 year has gone for me and for the unmanned stuff that I'm doing. I'm sorry that I let the ball drop on the podcast. But honestly, I almost said juggle so many balls, but then I'd have to throw a soda speak in there. I can only tread so much water. And right now I'm getting pulled in four or five different directions, including being a stay-at-home dad and now stay-at-home dad teacher. So that is challenging. My kids only go to school half the week. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I got the kids in the house, and that means work doesn't get done for me. It's all work for them. So that, you know, is what it is. But I'm hoping to do Drunken Drones episode 3 here soon, and it's way overdue. I've got plenty of delicious beer in my fridge, and I just need a couple guests. So if you're interested, hit me up. This has been good, and thank you all for listening. I'll definitely be coming out with some more content here in the near future. So, it's Chris Kelso signing off. Cheers.